Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA. Delighted indeed I am to welcome Dr. Christine Keneally, a world-renowned authority on Ireland's great hunger, a professor of history and Irish studies at Quinnipiac University. And on this Memorial Weekend in the United States, of course, we have, again, much to remember in terms of death, and it does remind us also of the tremendous suffering which was brought upon the Irish people during the famine of 1845 to 52. Dr. Christine, you're very welcome to the program. And there is a conference which you have scheduled from the 3rd to the 6th of June at the York Hill campus of Quinnipiac University of Hamden, at Hamden University. Can you tell us about that, please?
Well, first of all, thank you, Adrian. It's great to be on your show, so thank you for inviting me. The conference is the second conference sponsored by Ireland's Great Hunger Institute, and it's running from the 3rd to the 6th of June. And the theme of it is Women and the Great Hunger. And for me, it's a very important conference because women are very much underrepresented in Irish history, in all histories, but particularly in Irish history. And so through this conference, we're trying to learn more about the role of women in their various guises. So women as relief givers, as family members, as victims of the famine. So we're really opening this up to try and find out more about women and how they suffered during this tragedy in Irish history.
Now, there is no shortage of depictions of women indeed, in a great state of distress, and in poverty, and with children. I think perhaps what you are pointing out to us, and what may come from this conference, is actually that women did more than just hold the family together as much as possible during the devastation.
Yeah, so I think when we think of the famine and we think of the images, the representations, we often think of the work of James Mahoney, who was Cork-born, but he was employed by the Illustrated London News. Mm-hmm. And in 1847, he was asked to go to Skibbereen, to West Cork, to actually chart what was happening. And so his representations, his pencil drawings of the famine, very powerful imagery, and they do, as you say, depict women, they depict children, and very famously Bridget O'Donnell and her children. I think an image that everybody is familiar with.
Yes.
But what is lacking is women's stories in terms of the history of the famine. So we've had 20 years of very intense research about the famine. Many books have been published, but very few of them actually look at women, not simply as victims, but women as having agency, women organizing relief, and just women even as landlords. So women were not just victims of the famine.
Yeah.
They were there in multiple roles, and that's what we're trying to explore, the role of women during the famine, not just as victims, but in other forms.
Yeah. Can you just address women as landlords? That's we can hardly envision that at all.
I mean, there were some, and I suppose and what you might be interested in is the very famous Irish writer Maria Edgeworth. She owned property in County Longford.
She sure did.
And she was incredible. She was 80 years old in 1847, and she was a landlord, but she was a fairly compassionate landlord. And she actually wrote letters using her fame as an author, and she wrote to women in Australia, in England, and in America. And she appealed to them as one woman to another woman and asked them to give relief to the poor on her estate. And she used the money very practically. She set up groceries on her estate, and she realized that people were without clothing or without shoes, so she asked for people to send leather. And on her estate, she actually introduced shoemaking factories, little brogue production units. So it was a very practical way of helping the poor. But she was a landowner who was also very compassionate towards her tenants.
When we think of landlords and the period of the Irish famine, we almost associate blame to the whole job lot of them. And I suppose that becomes easy since obviously history will record that a lot more could have been done. As a matter of fact, history will record that so the authorities in Britain were kind of not nearly as upset as they could or should have been, and that all landlords were cut from the same cloth, so to speak.
Yeah, I think more recent research is showing it's a very complex picture. So while we can assign blame to the British government for things they didn't do, their relief policies in some ways exacerbated the suffering, the role of landlords, landowners is more complex, and a lot more research needs to be done on it. And we know from the Quakers who travelled through Ireland during the famine, and who were very gentle observers, but they were incredibly critical of landowners, especially absentee landowners who did nothing for their tenants. And they actually named and shamed some of those landowners. So we know very well there were landowners who really did nothing to help, and in fact evicted their tenants, which increased the mortality, the emigration, the suffering. But there were some good landowners. And I know from our exhibition at Quinnipiac University last year on Lady Sligo,
yes,
who she and her son owned Westport House during the famine. And again, they were Anglo-Irish, they were Protestant, but they were very compassionate towards their tenants. And after 1847, they felt compelled by high taxation to evict some tenants, but they did so reluctantly, and they tried again to do so with compassion and selectively. But they felt they were caught between having received no rent for 2 years and very high taxation. So not all landowners were bad, but the ones who were bad, unfortunately, were very bad.
Yes.
And really added to the suffering.
Now, zero in on the conference, and again, it is scheduled from June 3rd to 6th at Quinnipiac University, and it is being hosted by our guest, Dr. Christine Keneally. Walk us through the conference, if you will.
Well, it's a very full program. We have 31 speakers, so it is indeed very full. Three keynote speakers, Dr. Una Walsh, who is speaking on something a bit unusual, epigenetic changes in Ireland. And she's actually looking at what? The years of dietary loss in Ireland, years of suffering in Ireland, the long-term impact on people's health, both mental and physical, because we know after the famine, Irish people tended to be shorter in terms of height, and we also know there's a very high incidence of mental illness. And it now seems from research that this dated back to years of malnutrition and suffering. So that's the theme of her paper. The other keynote is Dr. Jason King from Galway University, and he's speaking about the Grey Nuns, an incredible order of sisters, the Sisters of Charity in Montreal, who gave relief to Irish immigrants who went to Montreal during the famine. And they went in great numbers. In 1847 alone, 75,000 Irish immigrants landed in Montreal, at that time a city of only 50,000 people. And many of those immigrants were suffering from typhus fever, and many Catholic religious orders set up fever sheds to look after those immigrants. It's an incredible story of bravery, of courage, of selflessness. And our third and final speaker is Dr. Kieran Riley of Maynooth University.
Yes.
And he's speaking about women's petitions during the famine. And again, it's a very different side of women, showing women as having agency and as being very politically involved. So there are three keynote speakers. Then we have 28 other papers, which cover all sorts of areas from literature to visual representations to art. My own paper is going to be on Cecil Wooden Smith, who wrote the great book in 1962, The Great Hunger. So great papers. In addition to that, we have a number of tours. We're going to be visiting Ireland's Great Hunger Museum, the Grey Nuns Exhibition, and the Yale Art Exhibition in New Haven. The conference opens on Wednesday evening with a book launch of last year's conference proceedings. And on Friday evening before the conference dinner, there's going to be a dramatization of Famine Echoes, which is based on the folklore of the famine, which was put together by Cahill Porter. So it's a whole range of activities, great opportunity to meet students, scholars, just people interested in the famine. So I think it'll be a wonderful, wonderful 4 days.
Now, is there a registration process? First of all, is it open to those with no affiliation with Quinnipiac University, Ireland's Great Hunger Museum, or Quinnipiac's Ireland's Great Hunger Institute?
It is open to everybody. Now, there is a fee because we include all meals, all tours, etc., two receptions, a conference dinner, breakfast, lunches, etc.
Okay.
So there is a fee, but the performance of Cahill Porter's Famine Echoes, which is on Friday at 5 o'clock, is free to everybody. But if people want to come and have meals with us, etc., there is a fee. Information can be found on our website, either Ireland Great Hunger Institute website or Women and the Great Hunger website, and that will walk you through the registration process.
Is it something that that is new? And I think that the focus on this topic is something that may be of interest to a lot of people. So let's just take the information again on the website and how we get that, and then we will leave it at that.
So if you go to Ireland Great Hunger Institute website, there is actually a link to the conference, and on that link there's a further link to how to register. So it's pretty straightforward. If you get stuck, just phone up the Institute, phone me up, email me, and again, we can help you get you through the process, but it should be fairly simple. And it really, we welcome everybody because we think, as you say, it's a very important discussion. It's a discussion that nobody else seems to have had.
And
we just welcome more people to be part of it. I think it will be very rich by a lot of involvement.
And I assume that people who would like to take in portions of it, not just the June 3rd to 6th, but there are accommodations for that as well.
Yes, we can help people with accommodation, absolutely.
Dr. Christine Keneally, again, who heads the Ireland's Great Hunger Institute at Quinnipiac University. Thank you for joining us, and good luck with the first conference, actually specifically designated to women, the role of women during the Irish famine. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Very welcome indeed. And friends, you are listening to Irish Radio Network USA.